We are taking a look about our lives before the Lord, and it is a Father that gives to both the will and do of His good pleasure, and that's by virtue of the Spirit. And we understand about the flesh, we understand and hear about the Spirit of God and His power, and we have this equipping that the Lord has equipped us with that we need to avail ourselves to. We have a responsibility as the Lord's children to use this bit of time that we have left. I can never lay my laziness or my lack of pursuit of the Lord on the Lord. We've been given this wonderful blessing of prayer. You know, every lack, every need, we can take that to the Lord to ask Him to help us with that. He's given us that. The Father and the Son are very interested in us, and the Son intercedes before the Father. The Father, as we saw this morning, is a Father that receives prayers of His children and has made it to where we can. We have the ministering spirits of God, the Holy Spirit Himself, that carry those requests and the Lord's power to do and to work on our behalf back and forth. We've got armor that we've been provided with. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what the Scripture tells us. So we need to avail ourselves of those things. And so as we progress on in this, we've been taking a look and that we need to understand about mortification of the body and mind. We've taken a look in Romans chapter 12 about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Not just a living sacrifice, but it needs to be holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That's just stepping up to get started. Okay, reasonable. It's just reasonable to present our bodies a living sacrifice. The Lord is God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so we are not to be conformed to the world. It says in Romans chapter 12, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We took a look last time in Colossians and what it says about mortifying our members, putting off the old man and taking on the new. And then we want to come back to the book of Romans in chapter 6 this afternoon and take a look at this that it says here about mortification of our body and the mind. And so we have to have our hearts and our minds right before we can do anything well in the body. And so that's Romans 12 is kind of the conclusion of that, the crescendo of what the brother is saying in earlier chapters here. And so in chapter 6 of Romans, he asks this question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The graciousness of the Lord is far and above what our sin requires. It's able. The Lord Jesus Himself, He's got the power to forgive sins. And the greatest of sins, there's no sinner that can't be saved, right? There's no sin that can't be paid for by our Lord, you know, from our perspective and how we look here. And so, shall we continue in sin that the grace of God upon us may abound? Is that an attitude to have? Go ahead and pile on the sinning. That way God's graciousness unto us would be greater and abounding. God forbid. No. God stands at the beginning of the creation, and He tells, if you will, He tells our father Adam, don't sin against me. He tells him that. You can eat of every tree, but don't eat of that tree, because in the day you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Don't sin again. Don't transgress against me. Leave that tree. Don't eat of it. And that's such a serious, serious issue that he partaking of that, one fruit and one bite at one time caused all the billions. I don't know, would there be trillions of people? I don't know. Billions of people that have lived to be plunged into sin. Our nature changed because of what our Father did just in that one moment of time. That's how serious it is. So sin more that the graciousness of the Lord abound, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So that's to be our attitude about sin. Not that we were saved from our sins, but we can go and you know what, we'll go flirt around with them again. That's not to be our way. That's not to be our thinking. No, we've been saved. We've been saved from thinking evil, and we've been thinking from speaking evil and from doing evil. We're not it's not given unto us to flirt around with sin. We are dead to sin. Shall we live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Why did he die? He died because of our sin. He died in giving himself a sacrifice for our sins. You know, the Lord sacrificed his life. He sacrificed his will as a man. Jesus gave his life in the prime of life. No wife, no children. And the great design of the Lord is for a man his age to have a wife and children, to have a future, to have a posterity, to have a life. But he gave all that. He laid all that down. He gave his life, his body, a sacrifice. And because of sin, not his own sin, but because of our sin, he died. He died. And because of that, he was buried. And so don't we know? I mean, the apostles asking these folks at Rome, our brothers and sisters at Rome, asking us, don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, when we came and testified that Christ is our Savior, and we were baptized in the waters of baptism by the authority of the Lord through the church, that we identified with Christ dying for us? We said he died for us. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. He died because of our sins. And so we're going to go flirt around and mess around with that again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And so what's that signify? It signifies, typifies that we are dead to sin. We are dead to self. Do you want to still live like you? Do you want to still live like you? Are there some things that you had before you were saved that you just want to hang on to? We need to ask ourselves, if that's the case, we need to think really seriously about Christ having died for us. We're buried with him by baptism into death. Death to all things, to sin, to self, the world, Satan. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not what Christ gave his life for us, and not that we can continue on in what we used to walk in. We're dead to that. He died. We died with him, right? He was raised up, and we are to walk in a new life. It says in Corinthians, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things. Not most things. All things are become new. For if we have been planted together, and that word planted is speaking about being buried, okay? That grave going into the earth, like Christ was buried in the earth. Now, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So he raised from the dead. We have this newness of life too. Old things are to be passed away and all things new. Okay. We've been planted together with him. You know, what is that? That lends itself to what the Lord uses. He talks about seed, right? Being saved, are we not of the seed of the Lord? Are we not his tillage? Is it not so that Jesus said a seed must die to itself that it can come forth with life? And we know that practically, that's the way it works with seeds. That's what planting referred to there is speaking of that. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's the way we lived before. It's crucified there, nailed to the cross. crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, which is the best thing for our flesh, is to be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's how serious it is with the Lord. It's just good for our old man to be crucified, pinned down, can't move around, can't go anywhere to do anything. And listen to what it says, that henceforth we should not serve sin, because sin is a taskmaster. I preached about that, I think, in the last year or so, how the bondage of sin, men, women, boys, and girls, we think naturally that we are free when we pursue after sin. Say what we want, think what we want, do what we want. We think that we're liberated. And what's happened is we've been brought under bondage of something, sin, that is going to do nothing but lead to death and dishonor God. All that transgression is against him. And all that's doing is piling as we lie, as we curse, as we take God's name in vain, as we pursue things in this body that we should not, as we think things that we should not, just boom, the condemnation of God keeps getting stacked up and stacked up and stacked up and stacked up upon us. Our old man is crucified, and that's where it needs to be, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We've been made free. For he that is dead in the flesh, in the old man, is freed from sin. Made free. Free indeed. Free indeed, as the Lord speaks about in John chapter 8. Now, if we be dead, verse 8, with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And what a glorious day that will be. We live with him now, don't we? We do live with him now, walking with him, walking humbly with him, right? Isn't that what the Old Testament scripture says? That is our duty, to walk humbly with him. That's our privilege, being the children of God, to walk with him. But one day we'll have a body like our Lord's. Oh, and we long for that, don't we? We long to be totally dead to every effect of sin upon us, and not to even have a mind tainted by sin. Won't that be wonderful? We can't imagine it. We try to comprehend what that will be like, and we know it'll be good, but we haven't experienced it. But we know it will be good, and oh, it'll be good not to have that song that's wicked that you can't get out of your mind for days and weeks. It'll be good not to have those fleeting thoughts that come across our minds of the past, or something in front of us that's wicked, and how that does things, that turns things on of that. Or we'll be in a place that we can never backslide. Won't that be wonderful? It will be. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He did that once. Death hath no more dominion over him. How long did death have dominion over Christ? Well, he subjected himself to it for 3 days and three nights, and that was enough. He's not dying ever again. And that's how long we live, is how long Christ lives. And he's going to live forever. Going to live forever. He's alive. He died. And he lives forevermore, he says. For in that he died, verse 10, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. At salvation, we died to sin too. We should have, if we didn't. At salvation, we should have died to sin. And we should, as it is with Christ, we should be alive to God. And every bit of our conversation, what we say, do, and think, what does God think about it? What does our Heavenly Father, what does our Lord Jesus, our Savior, think about it? Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. He said, take that and apply that to yourself. You reckon, Jesus is not going to deal with sin anymore. He's dealt with it. He was subject to the effects of it, death. He paid for it on Calvary's tree. And understand and remember, Jesus did not go to hell. He did not need to go to hell to pay for our sins. He paid for our suffering in an eternity in hell and the lake of fire on his cross. But because he gave his life, that was one of the things that he gave. He shed his blood and these things that I mentioned earlier, and then he gave his life. Because of that, he was buried and willingly entered into death and was subject to the dominion of it for 3 days and three nights, and then abolished it. Abolished it for himself and abolished it for us. We need to reckon ourselves also indeed dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the one that has saved us. We're alive, if you will, unto the Father. This relationship that we have that the Lord Jesus broke open for us and showed us about on the Sermon on the Mount. And so we've got an elder brother. I like that, an elder brother that gave himself for us and that loves us and willingly did those things for us to take us and make us presentable unto the Father. There's another person involved too, and they're the Holy Spirit. God Almighty living within us by virtue of the Spirit. This is an eternally wonderful and most serious thing. This is not membership at the Kiwanis, right? This is the best and the greatest thing that could ever be with us. So we need to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin also, like Christ is, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let sin just reign, take over. Don't let fight against the old man taking over. Don't let it reign. Don't let it reign in aspects. You know, we can do that. We can be convicted and we can say, well, in this, you know, the Lord's helped me with this and I've got this is good. I hold that. But this over here, this is the one I want to keep. I want to keep this one. Now, that can happen to us. We can say, well, that's not so bad. We can go down the road of justification and say, that's not bad. That's not that bad. I see other people. I hear other people doing that. Other children, my brothers and sisters, they do that. Well, that's a testimony of a bad witness that we have one to another. No, we need to take and put all of that out. All of it. All of it. And the Lord, if we desire to know what it is and take that to the Lord, he will help us to see it. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, this full flesh right here, that ye should obey it in the lust, the desires thereof. Neither yield ye your members, thinking, eyes, tongue, hands, feet, body. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't use anything that's under your power as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, this is really tells out. You've heard me refer to it before. You know, there's nothing better, as it says earlier here, there's nothing better than for the body to die. But that's in the Lord's hands. Our bodies are not going to die until the Lord turns off our physical life. We rest in him and trust in him about that. We're to do so. People can be brought to a situation where they're tempted to murder themselves. That's no good. That's not being obedient to the Lord. And people really get in tough, straight shapes and problems and stuff. It happens. But murdering self is never the thing to do. It's never obedient to the Lord. So we need to trust ourselves with the physical life, but the best thing for this physical life is for it to die, because then we are released from the effects of sin. But being in this shape, this mortal body can be used under righteousness by the help the power, the blessing, our desiring and seeking to the Lord to take this old flesh that's against God and use it to glorify the Lord. You came here today in your body. Your body is sinful. Your mind is sinful, still is. It's not saved. But you know what? You had a desire to get yourself ready and get yourself together and get in your vehicle and come on here. And you know what? You and I are in control of the attitude that we came here to. Am I going looking to glorify and worship the Lord and also fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ and to hear something from the word of the Lord, to be edified and to edify? That's what we need to do with this old man, this old physical man here. We need to take him and use him. Don't yield the members, as instruments to unrighteousness and to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Isn't that a miracle? That an old depraved, sinful body and mind can be taken by the power of God living within, and us in the new man and in the spirit and power of God take it and bend it over to do well before the Lord, to be pleasing to Him, to prove what is that perfect and acceptable and will of God, as we saw in Romans chapter 12. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now that seems imperative, doesn't it? Shall not. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now there's a point that is misunderstood. The antinomian, that's the theological term for it, says, I'm elect of God and predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So it really doesn't matter what I do here, because if I don't have it to do good, God didn't give it. And he's going to do anything and everything in me that he wants to do, whether it's wicked or evil. I don't think so. I don't think so. No, how this chapter start off? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace of the Lord may abound? God forbid. No. The Lord, grace is a summary term. I've learned this in helping my folks with their medical things, that learned more about medicine in the last handful of years and had learned all the rest of my life put together. And it happens in any profession. We like to take and create a term that describes a whole lot of things. We give one term to describe a whole paragraph of causes and symptoms. That's the way grace is. Grace is a one-word summary of what God has done for us. And when you and I see or hear the word grace or use the word grace, I think a good thing for us to do is to think gift. Because what is the grace of the Lord? If we just walk it down the line just for a little bit, what is the grace of the Lord? The grace of the Lord is that He created us. He brought us to life in time. The grace of the Lord is that He caused us, for us, to be born in this country. Because there's some countries that are bad to be born in. But He was pleased for us to be born. And then he was pleased for us to be born not on the East Coast and not on the West Coast, but here in the middle of the country. Amen? I can get an amen on that, right? But you understand, he was gracious in anything that was a blessing and good that He did for us and our families. I'm blessed. The Lord was gracious unto me in that my mom and dad, my mom and dad have married and stayed married. I wasn't a child that dealt with a broken. That's the grace of the Lord. Because I wasn't owed that. The Lord was gracious to me in that he caused me to be born into a home where the parents were saved. And not only that, Baptists. That's the grace of the Lord. The grace of the Lord is that he protected me in the handful of times, or a couple of times that I saw that I should have died. He kept me alive. Because in those times that I know of, had I died then, I would have gone to hell. That's just here from where I'm living. He was gracious unto me in that he brought those folks along beside me that talked to me about the Lord Jesus and my need of a Savior. See how the graciousness of the Lord is? He was gracious unto me in that he helped me to learn and to grow and to be formed, to have a desire to work and to learn the things that I learned, and then be able to take that and put that into work. He was gracious in that. You and I can't describe all the things that the Lord has been gracious to us in. See, when we say grace, it's a big old brush that covers a lot of paragraphs in our lives. And so, sin more that he brought us to conviction and repentance and faith in him. See, that's not the only place of the grace of the Lord. That's the high point, if you will, of the grace of the Lord, in that he brings a soul unto rescue, unto salvation. But it's not the only thing, because the Lord was so gracious in giving this gift and giving this gift and giving this gift and giving the things we didn't deserve all along to bring us all the way to that point. And then after we're saved, then he's gracious to us as his children. And he keeps on being too gracious to us in that way, doesn't he? So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? All the graciousness of the Lord being long-suffering with my sin and not zapping me when he should have, bringing me to salvation. And then even as a child, being wayward and disobedient and murmuring and grumbling and not forgiving, and all that, he's gracious to me in that. He's gracious in provision. He's gracious in health. You know, the Lord was gracious to me to deliver me from kidney cancer. Some people get kidney cancer and have a real hard time from that point till they go on and die. And you know, it's been 7 years since my kidney surgery. Man, does time fly? It does, doesn't it? See, and so here, for sin shall not have dominion over you, verse 14, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We're under the graciousness, the good gifts of the Lord. Remember how this morning Jesus was saying, fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more the Father? And so, we're not under the law. God says don't, we don't, we get a reward. God says do, we get a reward. See, that's the law. But the graciousness of the Lord is that he just gives. And we're the continual benefactors of that. Pick up and go to sin against him? Do so willfully? May God help us. Lord, help us with such an attitude. There was an attitude there that in this church. May that attitude not be amongst us. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Not grace to go ahead and do whatever you want to do, but the good gifts of God to bring us to this point and to this knowledge. We're going to speak about that, Lord willing, preach about that, about the knowledge that we gain, because we're not to be an ignorant people. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. This hadn't been a tit-for-tat kind of thing that we can just take a break from one day or 2 days or whatever. But he's taken the bucket loads of goodness and gifts towards us and just poured them out upon us. And we want to sin? We would take up the attitude of sinning against him? Lord, help us in that. Lord, help us that it wouldn't be that way. Now, is that possible? Well, we're being talked to about it, aren't we? So that means it's possible. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? So, child of God, which path you want to take? I tell you what, keep on sinning, foul attitude, unforgiving heart, unforgiving way, no witness of the Lord, don't fellowship with the Lord, sin, going right down that road. And you know what? Sin always yields death. But you know, obey, enjoy the Lord. Ask him to help us to see the goodness that he's done for us. Count our blessings. Ask our Lord to work in our lives as we go forward. Got some rough spots? Got some hard things? Got some things that are troubling? Take that to the Lord. Tell it to Jesus, we sing, right? Tell it to Jesus. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Tell you what, it's going to speak about this here in a minute. You know how to avenge every bit of disobedience that's been in our life? How to avenge disobedience? How to say disobedience was wrong? Disobedience was against God. Sin was against God. You know how to revenge that? Be obedient from now on. Go and do well. Go and find out what the Lord says, pick it up, and go forward with it. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin. That's for the saved, that's the perspective. You were the servants of sin, right? Aren't now, were. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You know, did you believe? Did you believe from the heart that Jesus died for you? Was it something that you and I committed to just in an intellectual way? Or did we believe by conviction that our Lord and Savior died for us? Brother Ethiopian eunuch, Philip told him, if thou believest with all thine heart, Romans chapter 10 that we read Wednesday. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that teaching, that truth, which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness of God. I speak after the manner of men, he says to this church, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, your body, your hands, your arms, your legs, your mind, your tongue, your eyes, your hearing, yield them as servants to righteousness and unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. We didn't have a bit of righteousness in us whatsoever. Sin, 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 sin. That's what the unrepentant and unbelieving man is. It just everywhere, sin, oh yeah, go help grandma, go help the neighbor. But the thing is just doing it, not doing it to honor God, just doing it because maybe that's the way you've been programmed. And I'm not saying that manners aren't a good thing to have, but it makes no standing righteousness before God. And we should teach our children well. I mean, we should teach our children to do well, but that doesn't save. But the truth, the repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what saves. For when you were the servant of servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, had no righteousness in it. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Are we proud of our old sins? You know, it's never good for us to brag on our sin and our wickedness before we were saved. Certainly not after we're saved. It's not. But you know what? Sometimes I do bring up things about my past and what I did before I was saved because I was such a fool. And I always try to put that in the right context that those that hearing would understand, do not go that way. It was wrong when I did it, and it would be wrong if you did it and went that way too. But how foolish, how wicked, what ignorance before God that we had before we were saved. And so he says here, what kind of fruit did you have? You're now ashamed of it. I trust we're ashamed of our old sins. For the end of those things, that sin, that wickedness against God is death. But now being made free from sin, verse 22, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. Treasure laid up in heaven. Good works that our Father might be glorified, right? Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? And the end, everlasting life. That's where we're heading. And then this chapter ends up this way, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift, we can say the grace of God, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the children of God need to live like we do have eternal life now. Because we're going on to glory, going on to be with the Lord, going on to do His bidding and service during the millennial reign, and on to the new heaven and new earth, it'll be nothing but righteousness as far as we're concerned. So, might as well go ahead and get on with it now. Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to mortify this old body and this old mind. Lord willing, next time we're going to take a look at one more chapter in the book of Romans that deals with this, chapter 8. And that chapter starts off about there's no condemnation to us. No condemnation. The Lord Jesus is taking care of that for us.